Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey, the podcast where we cover all the pop culture we love to hate, from the classic reality TV moments of the past and present to the latest Daily Mail headlines and everything in between. We'll dive into all the infamous and notorious messes you can't stop watching. I'm looking at you, Jax Taylor. I'm your host, Ryan Bailey.
Futuristic, would ya? Put your two lips on my wooden kiss it, could ya? See yourself with a nigga working harder than 9 to 5, the 10 to 6, two jobs to survive. Or do you need a ball up so you can shop into the mall up? Flag, tell your friends what I bought ya. If you couldn't see yourself with a nigga when his dough is low, baby girl, if this is so, can I get a fuck you to the bitches from all of my niggas who don't love hoes? They get no.
You at a sky when I'm in good drink, so what's up? What you sipping on? It's no problem. Black and gold bottles like I'm pro. New Orleans. But shawty, I'm far from a scene, but I got two Amexes that look the same way. Wale, DC, that's me, huh? My body say Prada and they Prada say Fila. I ain't gotta tell you, they know about me, huh? So come to DC and I can make you a believer. See, baby, I'm a leader. Stay away from a Libra. And I ain't trying to leave you wrong, sugar, I need ya. So would you please listen to what I'ma need from ya? Live for tonight before tomorrow's amnesia. Ha!
My posse's on Broadway as well, folks. Welcome to So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey. I am Ryan Bailey. This is your Monday episode. We're doing it all week again, I think. Well, actually, no, that's not true, because it's Thanksgiving this week. Now, I don't know if you celebrate Thanksgiving, if you just appreciate possibly the day off work. So many different iterations of what we look forward to in this holiday. Now, I'm going to be getting into a car on Tuesday and driving to Arizona to see Bill and Becky Bailey and my sister and my niece and my nephew and my cousin. Abby is coming down and I get to hang out with her. And I think she listens to the podcast, actually, which is very exciting. So I'm going to try to pull her into the show at some point. And you know, it's that thing. I don't know if you guys are like this, where you're like, this could be amazing, or it could be horrible. Not hanging out with my cousin, but just, you know, any kind of family event as you get older, and especially over these last couple of years. I mean, the joke's always been, what do you talk about at the Thanksgiving dinner table? But in these last couple of years, it's been so much more intense and pressure-filled. And so you never know. You never know which way it's going to go, right? But don't worry. I'm here with you this week. If you need strength, think about me. Think about the show. We're here for you. The show's here for you. That, of course, I had to open with an oldie but a goodie. That's Girl Talk, Let It Out, and it's one of my favorite mashups of all time. And I wanted to hit you with something that I love so much. That just makes me so happy. And I wanted us all try to start the week happy, because if we start happy, you know, we could go even happier, or we could go even lower, but at least we have this moment of happiness together. How was your weekend? Did we do cool things? Tell me. I want to know. Please feed me your good things. I did a couple things. I'm still moving. I finished most of it today, right before I talked to Sophie, and your boy's out of shape. I'm not going to lie, but the new place is amazing. It's so nice. I'm getting adjusted still. My mom is going to come down in like a week after Thanksgiving, I think. And she's going to help decorate. She's going to help, you know, we're going to do an IKEA run. At what point should I not be shopping at IKEA anymore? Please don't answer that. You're going to say it was like 15 years ago. IKEA's always been there for me. And also, as you get older, and even if you get wealthier, I've gone into some pretty expensive furniture stores in my day, and I'm like, what? Come on. IKEA is really... I've destroyed all lady boners at this point. I'm like, IKEA's great, and I love to put it together. No, it's always fascinating when you're moving, because you take stock of your life. And all of that stuff, like, I'm not a hoarder, per se. Like, I truly am not. But at the same time, I remember, and I don't know if any of you guys are like this, when you're a kid or in your teens, and especially with fandom, especially with pop culture, I used to save all of my Entertainment Weeklies, my Rolling Stone magazine, my Mad magazines. I would save them because they made me feel good. And I would never really go out there and like touch them or lay with them or anything like that. They were just in my toy box in high school. And I always knew I had them. And as you get older, the, you know, one of the other shitty things about getting older is that you start to realize those romantic ideas of I need these for the rest of my life, you realize, wait, I don't need these. And there's kind of a sadness in that, you know? Do you guys know what I'm saying? Where you're like, why do I need 1,000 books? And I'm like, well, they make me happy. And Maritza Lopez keeps telling me I need to throw away all my books and all that stuff. But I don't know. They always make me so happy, just the smell of books. And yeah, I always talk about I'm the idiot that bought tons of DVDs and now I just can't bear to part with it. I mean, come on. I do need the Dodgeball DVD. It's one of Ben Stiller's finest works. But it's one of those things as you get older, you start to realize, oh, shit, I didn't need any of this stuff. Oh, my God. It's actually relationships that make us happy, right? But I'm still, believe me, I'm still possession filled. I love a good graphic tee, you know, but it's one of those things, you know, because you're like, well, how much longer do we all have to live, right? Like, you know, when I'm 80, if I'm lucky enough to live that long or unlucky enough to live that long, am I going to be telling my, you know, my friends' grandkids, because I probably won't have them, that, you know, like, well, that's Ryan's Entertainment Weekly collection. Oh, yes. That's when Taylor released an album against Jake Gyllenhaal. Can anybody drive me home? It is funny, though. Like, there is this thing, and I know I'm going totally off track, but that's what really this podcast is about. It should be just called Going Off Track, is that I've thought so much recently about getting older, because I actually am getting older. And not about legacy per se, because I think kind of that might be shot in some ways, but I've just thought so much more about what all of this means. I've thought about heaven so much lately. I always think about heaven but I was in a conversation with somebody about it this week. And you know how I always say, well, my mom always said it's not even worth imagining heaven because it's something that we possibly could never comprehend. And that always gives me a lot of comfort. But like my big thing is like, wow, so you're saying I can't watch my DVDs up there? Like, are you saying like HBO Max does not, can you tell me HBO Max does not exist? Like, so I can't watch Succession, Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, Real Housewives of Potomac, Sister Wives, 90 Day Fiancé, The Other Way, Insecure, Yellowstone. You're telling me that the entire Sunday night lineup is not up in heaven? Like, I figure it at least heaven has like a Sunday night lineup of some sort. Or I guess if heaven exists, the Sunday night lineup is even better than the Sunday night lineup we have down here. But these are the actual thoughts I have as I get older, which kind of shows you that I'm still kind of a child. You guys, let's just move on. Hey, if you're listening to the show for the first time, I guess hello and goodbye, because it's probably there's not going to be another time. Did you guys watch Potomac tonight? Whew, man. Nicki Minaj comes out at the very end, which is no surprise to us. And I know Nicki Minaj is very problematic in many ways. I know that. I'm not ignorant to it, folks. I'm just going by what I saw, and it was really exciting. She literally came for Ashley immediately. And then in the preview for next week, she literally asked Ashley, "What do you find attractive with Michael Darby?" And she's like, "I find him sexy." And Nicki's like, "You do?" And she asked Candace to sing Drive Back a cappella. Like, I'm sorry, but like sometimes you just need that biased person coming in, because Andy Cohen, like, he's just kind of, you know, like, we're used to Andy. I love Andy so much, but we're used to him. But this, we get something new. And that's why I love Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip so much on Peacock. Not only is it just a mashup, but it makes all the old tropes new again, because there's a new combination of ladies. And I love when Bravo is trying new things out, right? Like, I really, really dig that. I think that is the way to go. Now, I don't talk about 90 Day Fiancé a lot, and somebody had the idea I should do it over on the Patreon, because I watch that and Love After Lockup, and I never really talk about those shows a lot. But a lot of people, I was watching 90 Day Fiancé the other way, and I'm just like, I just, like, Jenny moved from Palm Springs to be with this dude, and like, she's literally living at a place where nobody likes her. I'm like, how hard up are you, Jenny, that this guy, I mean, I just, it infuriates me. If you watch 90 Day Fiancé, you know what I'm talking about. Also, Corey and Evelyn, don't need to see him ever again in the rest of my life. I could do without seeing Corey and Evelyn. There is no use for them on the show. They're boring. Nobody's going to come to your wedding, Corey, because you guys are both nuts. So you're nuts. And then the other, the Mormon kid, who I know, he doesn't even soak. He has full sex, you guys. The Mormon kid and this beautiful girl. Turns out the Mormon kid, you think he's the geekiest person ever. Turns out the guy's been with like 100 girls or something like that. You know? He's like the Tommy Lee of 90 Day Fiancé Mormon people, you know? But it's a fascinating show. At the same time, I probably shouldn't be watching it, but it's just now, it's a part of habit. Like, I'll put on 90 Day Fiancé just to unwind in the background, you know? I actually need to finish this podcast so I can watch Succession, because that's like the show, that's another show that it's just so rich. It's just so, it just makes me feel so good when I watch it for some reason. Also, Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, we talk about it a little bit in today's podcast with Sophie, which is actually a really fun, great conversation, I think. It is loose, I had a great conversation with her today. But Salt Lake, this, you know, it's like, Jen Shah, you guys, this is what bold-faced lying is. This is just complete... she's very comfortable with lying. I would like to say she's very good at it. I think she's very good at it in real life. I think when you put it on TV screens, it kind of is not as powerful because we can see through it really easily. But I'm sorry, this lady is lying. I'm sure she's nice and fun to hang out with, but she is lying. And I think that's her whole MO. And I think she's very comfortable with it. And I also want to point out, like I always do, is that, you know, most people are walking around this earth not expecting to be lied to, you know, not expecting to be lied to. And so I think that's what she kind of uses to gain people's trust and to kind of fool people, is that people aren't looking to be lied to. If you say something to somebody, they usually take you at face value. And finally, I've meant to talk about this last week, and it's just been so crazy. This isn't silly, but I did 200 episodes of, 2 years of this show. My 2 year anniversary was a couple of weeks ago. And Sandra, who books this show for me, she's just doing such an amazing job. And I've gotten to speak to so many cool people because of her. And you guys know me, I am so disorganized, and it's something that I'm daily trying to work on, and hopefully I will get much better as this goes on. But I know she reached out to a lot of people, to a lot of listeners, to a lot of people I really respect, to a lot of my Patreon members, to a lot of this, and everybody sent me all of these cards, and it really is so touching. And it was so amazing, and I'm so sorry to have put anybody out to have to do that, but it really did. It touched my heart. This has been, these past 2 years, as horrible as this world has been one of, if not the greatest joy of my life. And I don't say that lightly. Thank you for anybody that chooses to go on this journey with me. I know it is one of self-discovery. I know you literally hear my thoughts day in, day out. And I know that can get frustrating, as well as you probably celebrate some victories with me. But to everyone that actually took the time to send me a card, I still have not been able to go through all of them, because what happens is I'll get 3 or 4 in, and then I'll start crying, and then I'll laugh at myself, and then I'll just like awkwardly go sweat somewhere. But it is one of the coolest things that I mean, it's just already cool that you listen. It's already cool that you let me, that I get to do this because of you guys, because people are listening. But to do that on top of it, I just feel like I am not rich of money, but I am so rich because of you guys. I am so rich that people care about this. I'm so rich that we all love the same crazy shit, right? That we're all in this together. Even if the day sucks, all of that, like, I know I get to talk to you guys. I know that. And I don't, like I said, that's very serious. I know no matter how much I screw up in my actual life, I have you guys to come to every day. And in a way, this has become the closest relationship I have in my life, is to you guys. I know who I'm talking to when I talk to you guys. I know I'm talking to you, the one with 2 daughters in the car right now. I know I'm talking to you, Mom, who's listening just to find out a little bit more about my life. I know I'm talking to you, sir, who started a podcast because you listened to this podcast and you thought, you know what, I can do it. And you did. You can do it. I know all of you guys. I know you guys. And I want to make you so proud. And I know for the casual listener, this probably sounds like me just blowing smoke up my own ass. But I just want you to know I take this very seriously. I love all of you guys. And bonus points, I'm not shit can drunk like I was last Monday after the Tom Sandoval show. So the people that did write me cards, I will be reaching out to you. But I wanted you to know that I did receive them, that I don't just say I'm awkward. I am awkward in real life. And it's very hard sometimes for me to receive love. I've dealt with that in therapy before. I will try to distract to something else, to some other topic, or I'll make a really awkward joke because it makes me uncomfortable sometimes. And for somebody that's not used to being loved the way that I have been loved with this, it's something that I'm dealing with, but it's such a joy to have this to deal with, because this is so far from a problem. This is the coolest problem that I could ever have. I hope it's okay that I said that. Thank you. We're going to get back to the show. And I swear to God, guys, we have a lot of laughs. We talk about Emrata. We talk about Chrissy Teigen. We talk Salt Lake. We talk Taylor. We talk Adele. We kind of go all over the map. By the way, we talk about Sophie's boyfriend, who their Instagram official. I don't know if you guys saw her Instagram account. Instagram official, you guys. So it's huge. So we talk a lot about that, and it goes all over the place, as we always do, Kardashians, Astroworld, all of that stuff, but it's just a really comfortable conversation. So let's do this, guys. This is the week at hand. Remember, I don't think I'll be releasing a Thursday episode. I do have episodes this week. I don't know if that's a mistake to release. I know numbers usually go down for everybody this week, but fuck, I don't care. It's for you guys anyways. And I want you to be here. If you have any kind of weird conversations, just go in the other room, turn this on, have some wine, have a water, and we'll spend the holiday together. Also, this is probably the best time to get me on Instagram, because I'll probably have my head in my phone at certain points during this week with my parents. And that's it. That's it. I'll talk to you on Tuesday. Here she is, the one, the only, Sophie Ross. Remember, in the middle, there'll be some commercials. Would love if you listened. And that's it. I'll talk to you Tuesday. Bye. Come over here. Monday episode. This is the week of Thanksgiving, and we are thankful for you. I have a special gift for you today, as we always give you a gift on Mondays, because the one and only, and we're going to have to see if Ross is still her last name after a picture I saw on Instagram today. And if you're playing along with the show, you'll know last week, Sophie she's no longer a feminist. I think she has a boyfriend now. I think she's ready to settle down. Anyways, Sophie Ross, writer, comedian, internet guru, welcome to the show. Sophie, how was your weekend? I saw a photo that I was very excited about.
Oh my God, Ryan.
Does he really go to Yale?
What?
Did he really go to Yale, your boyfriend?
No. No, he didn't. But one of his girlfriends is in grad school there. So it was like kind of like a spontaneous thing, but yeah, it was really fun. It was my first time, I think, ever in Connecticut, by the way.
So you guys are already doing Connecticut vacays for the weekend. You're living in a Nancy Myers movie. Like, this is
no, because we actually didn't even stay the night. It was like a day, like it was a day trip. We drove home at the end of the night. It was like a really long day.
So if you guys didn't listen to last week's episode, Sophie admitted she had been seeing somebody and she was thinking about making it Instagram official. She made it podcast official last week. So It shocked me that she waited 6 days to make an Instagram official after she had said it on the podcast. So I saw that photo and I was like, whoa, it was like when Kim Kardashian released that photo for that magazine cover where her ass was like, it held like a champagne bottle on her ass and it broke the internet. That I was like similar vibes to that. Did you
and
feel
it
that?
Was like, it was like when Kim Kardashian leaked that she was dating Pete Davidson and then they were photographed
real.
Holding
what
hands.
Are you talking? That's real. I can't. I mean, well, I do think it is interesting that the Astroworld thing happened. And not only did Kim hook up with Pete, now all of a sudden you have a boyfriend. Is there anything that you want to tell us about your involvement with Astroworld?
Yeah. Well, you couldn't tell from the photo, but he also has, he's like covered in tattoos.
They should sell that for Christmas for like geeky guys that don't want to get fully tatted, but want girls to like think they're fully tatted because, and also at this point, Chloe, nobody's left for Chloe. Chloe's going to have to date Marilyn Manson for something to like happen, you know?
Oh my God. Sick. That's sickening.
Well, no, like, I mean, who could Chloe get with like, so I just thought like if Kim's pretend with Pete right now, Pete's best friends with Machine Gun Kelly. So that then gets Megan Fox into it. Then that gets Courtney and Travis into it. But then I think Kim would be like, no, Courtney and Travis, you're not invited to hang out with me, Pete, Machine and Megan, you know?
I don't know. I mean, I think that if I had to choose between Tristan Thompson and Marilyn Manson, it would be, even though they're both terrible, Tristan is slightly better than like a torture, like rapist abuser.
Oh, totally. But if we're trying to go with like dudes with tattoos, Chloe would always get like last dibs. And that would be like the worst of that ilk, you know?
What about like Post Malone?
Oh my God. If Chloe could pull a Post Malone, that's great, actually. I didn't even think about Posty. Wow.
Yeah, I like that idea a lot, actually. Let's make it happen.
Yeah, that's great. I am going to make a meme of that. Okay, so big news, you're dating. Is it still hot and heavy? Are you already like, as we get into the holidays, does he have to get you Hanukkah gifts? Like, how is it going to work?
I mean, he doesn't have to get me anything. He's a sweetheart, so I'm sure he will.
Did your football team do good today?
Yeah, the Bengals won.
By the way, also your guy, Joe Dirt, what's his name?
Joe Burrow.
Did he do good?
Yeah, he did. I mean, he still has to work on his turnovers, but you know what? He's still a young guy. He has a lot of work to do, but he's going to get there.
I thought it was disrespectful for you to post a relationship photo on the day that he plays in case he does see it.
I know.
I thought it was rude. I mean, I don't know.
He did text me right before he was going on the field. And I was like, baby, just channel this.
What me and you have is way deeper than anything I could ever.
I was trying to motivate him. And it worked. Welcome, Bengals fans.
I've been meaning to ask, like, so it is no, like, when are you leaving to see your family?
I'm actually leaving tomorrow and I like haven't packed yet. My flight's like in the morning. So gotta do that.
Are you looking forward to it or do you get like nerve-wracked around like holiday stuff?
We're actually like not like doing like an extended family thing, which is like sometimes that can be like nerve-wracking and anxiety inducing. It's going to be like a pretty small Thanksgiving, which I'm excited for. I'm really excited to see my puppies. They're going to be so cute.
Oh, yeah. Didn't your mom has puppies, right?
Yeah, the two little babies, Ruby and Rosie, are two little mini poodles.
But New York right now, is there a vibe of like holiday time? Is it getting back to normal in New York somewhat from like last year and the year before? Like, is there a good feeling in New York right now?
I mean, I know this is like an unpopular opinion. I feel like we talked about this, how I like am not a huge summer fan. I love like the fall and winter. Like I love seeing all of like the Christmas lights are starting to go up and stuff like that. And yeah, everyone's like out and about. It does feel very normal here.
So we have a lot of stuff to talk about today. I don't know where to start, but I guess we can kind of start where we talked about last week at the beginning. We were talking about Taylor Swift, All Too Well, the red scarf. But then all of a sudden now we got Adele that came through with her album 30 that got released on Friday. And there was like, you know, like earth shattering. Like it's weird. Like, are we still talking about Taylor at all? Or are we now full Adele?
I'm talking about both. I still haven't finished the Adele album. I started it and it's like amazing, obviously.
It would be great if Adele's album was about Jake Gyllenhaal too.
No, but like that's her thing, is like ballad. So it's like, you know, a little bit slower. I feel like Taylor Swift has more like catchy songs where Adele has more ballads. They're different, but they're both amazing.
No, they're both amazing, but it just in terms of like publicity, we now have a full-on Adele blitz of everybody talking about her. Whereas last week it was 24/7. Even in my own head, I was just talking about Taylor Swift all the time. And it's just funny, the pop culture news cycle now turns over so quickly. Like Taylor did what she needed to do. Like it's cemented in the history books.
Most,
but it is funny. And now we're in the holiday season where all of these ladies now are competing for top spots, which is awesome that it's like kind of more focused around females than male artists. And I was just watching that New York Times report about the Janet Jackson Super Bowl thing. Mm-hmm. Remember when she ripped her thing off and like showed her boob? They even had a pasty on the nipple, and it cracks me up. This was such a big deal, you guys. Justin Timberlake ripped the thing off. He didn't take any of the blame. But now cut, like fast forward to Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip. We're seeing Ramona's nipple like every episode. And it just shows you like how different society is now. Like you guys, you got to watch this thing on Hulu. It's like an out, like they treated it so seriously. The FCC levied fines against CBS. Janet Jackson's career was in free fall. Justin Timberlake apologized and distanced himself from Janet Jackson. His career took off at that point even further. But it is interesting now to think about that and go, all of that, she'd even had her nipple covered up. What was the big deal? Because we're so used to, like, I literally, Ultimate Girls Trip, Ramona shows her whole asshole in the first episode.
Yeah, I haven't watched it because I don't have Peacock.
Okay, I got to give you my password then because—
Oh my God, please do.
It is.
I just don't need another, I'm sorry.
But Sophie, it's so good. It's really good. Like,
okay, I just have so many freaking streaming services and I only use like two of them. I use like Hulu and Netflix and like HBO. And then I have like every other streaming service. I have Apple TV and I never use Apple TV and Disney Plus.
Apple TV really ball, I think. They have so much money for content and they have Ted Lasso, but they don't really, you don't really know it's out there. Like Hulu and Netflix and HBO Max, they're like letting you know they're there. Apple, like just, I don't know. Like, I think they're like, it's like a little hobby for them. So they don't really care enough to let us know.
I heard the morning show, like I heard mixed things about that. I think that was supposed to be their like pièce de résistance.
Well, the thing I hear about morning show is always on Twitter the day after or like the day of, they'll be like, oh man, morning show got crazier this week. Oh my God. Like they always, so I don't know what's going on morning show, but it must be like going for insanity because every week Twitter like blows up about it.
Yeah. So I'm like, there's not really anything incentivizing me. I've heard Ted Lasso is amazing. Obviously I need to watch that, but like, yeah, I just don't need another freaking app.
It is weird. Like at this point we could like stop trying to have lives at all. And we would still have enough things to watch for the rest of our life. Like they're making it so you should never want to have your own life. Like this is the fucking Matrix right here. Like we're in the Matrix. Like they will never, if they had their way, we would never leave our TV shows. And I'm beginning to agree with them. I never want to leave my TV, you know?
Yeah. It's kind of like, I mean, again, that's why I love the winter. Because it's socially acceptable if you don't want to leave your house when it's cold out.
Yes, I love that.
Versus in the summer when it's like 85 degrees and sunny. You're like, oh man, that's something about LA. I would feel pressured all the time to be like out and about in LA because the weather is always beautiful.
Dude, I just moved last week and I'm still moving. Like even today I was like getting a bunch of more boxes out but like last night I wanted to stay in so badly. It was like the perfect cold night to stay in and watch TV. And I had to go to a birthday party and it just sucks. So, I mean, no offense to if the birthday guy's listening, hey, Jax, it's
Jax.
No, it's just he's a manager. It's not an actual Jax, which, by the way, we have a story about Jax actually, too. But it's like that cold weather. You could just like, oh, my God, it would be so nice to just relax on the couch and just watch bad TV, you know?
Wait, where did you move to?
Just like 5 blocks away on Martell.
Oh,
like, well, which is like right. I don't think, you know, but I'm still on Melrose. And it's like right, it's just right in the middle of Melrose.
Okay, don't dox yourself.
Hey, 721. Hey, my social security number is 5129. So anyways, we left off last week too of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. We finally had the episode, the previous episode, Jen got arrested. And then this episode where it was 8 hours in a bus where you see these ladies putting things together and they go to the house. We have Meredith and Mary in the bathtub. What were your thoughts on all of this?
That was wild. Like, oh my God, that was like an amazing, amazing episode of television.
It gets more like, the thing is, people are like, oh, so. But if you watch that back, you guys, like, I've watched it like 3 times, it gets better each time because you realize how lucky Bravo was that they decided to rent a van. Like, imagine if they had flown those guys there, you know?
Yeah, they were like trapping them all in a van when it happened. Like,
yeah,
perfect. It was perfection. And also the fact that Stu Chains just changed his plea from not guilty to guilty means that he's definitely testifying against Jen.
Yeah, you guys. So that's what's been predicted all along. And finally on Friday, I believe he, you know, what they call, like, he flipped on Jen, but he actually admitted that he has knowledge that they were committing crimes, that they had set up the shell companies, that they had went after people 60 and older. So pretty much, like, and by the way, God bless Whitney Rose for explaining how business works to me, because she actually broke it down better than a lot of other people have. And I really appreciated that. But it's so funny. I love that Lisa Barlow was then like, Whitney, you don't know everything, Nancy Drew. Like, I love that nobody wants to ever encourage anybody to explain anything, you know?
I know. Oh, my God. Yeah, Whitney did do a good job explaining it. I'm like, huh.
She goes, these are leadless and they compete for the people to the leadless. So you guys, Stu is supposedly going to testify against Jen. That's what this is for, a lightened sentence. But even in that, I was reading that he still will be serving time in prison. Like, even with the reduced sentence, he's not going to be able to just, like.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, basically Jen Shah is 100% going to prison, probably for a while. Well, which is everything about it, like, that was so sad. Also seeing her sons, like, they were on camera.
That was just like, that was the part you couldn't laugh at all, seeing two men like get like let out at gunpoint with their hands held high. Like, it was just, and we know them a little bit from the show and they always seem like nice kids.
Yeah, it's super sad. But like, how did they even get that? How did Bravo get that footage? Like, did Jen give them that footage?
I think it had to. It was like a door. It was the door, doorbell to system thing.
Yeah. What is that called again?
A ring.
Yeah. So that was interesting that they decided to air that and even had that footage.
So I already got to see tonight's episode early. I gotta say, and like, I gotta tell you, you're gonna see. Well, we can talk about it. So Jen Shah has this scene with her lawyer where she says, "This is all a misunderstanding. Sharif was in the hospital. I thought it was Sharif on the phone, but it turns out somebody else had called me and told me I need to leave. So I left, and then I got pulled over on the road. And when they did that, I thought they were pulling me over because something even more was wrong with my husband. This is all a huge misunderstanding." Like, so you guys, I'm going to go on record and just say Jen Shah is one of the biggest and like bold-faced liars I've ever.
A sociopath.
You guys got to watch this scene. It is the biggest. Like, she is so comfortable with lying that she doesn't even blink. And guess what? The only time she's not an angry person is when she's lying. That's when she's like, oh, it's a big misunderstanding. I can't, like, she's not angry. She's just like, it's so funny how this is such a huge misunderstanding. Like, they really are going, they're doubling down on the Sharif internal bleeding thing.
It was very telling how quickly she was able to lie about her husband's health. Like, that was very telling. She is very comfortable lying. She's clearly, I mean, that's like a sign of being a sociopath. And look, when you hear about the people that she's scamming, the new documentary about her is going to cover the kind of people that she was scamming. Most of them were elderly people. It pisses me off.
What Sophie's referring to, you guys, is they have The Housewife and the Hustler. The second part of this is The Housewife and the Shah Shocker, which I think is a horrible title.
Like, a very weird title.
It sounds like almost sexual in a way. It's like, Housewife and two in the pink, one in the stink. Like, it's like, sorry. I'm sorry if any of Sophie's family's listening. So anyways, it looks good, but I know everybody, like Dana Wilkie's in this again as a talking head, and Dana, I'm on Dana's podcast. I think it came out today actually. And I think we're going to release the audio on mine this week too, because she actually had a lot of really good information, but I'm curious to see the victims. Like I was the victims in Housewife and the Hustler. So it'll be interesting to see what testimonials they get, because I thought that was the part that really made you really hate Tom Girardi and therefore Erica Jayne, you know?
Right. Because it puts a face to these things, and it's similar to like the Astroworld thing. When you hear of just, oh, victims, your brain doesn't necessarily register that these are real. Like, obviously you should register that, but you'll hear like 11 victims killed or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But when you see that these are real people with real stories, it adds like so much more context and just humanizes these people. And that's also, I mean, not to change the subject, because I still want to talk about Jen Shah, but I mean, all the press conferences that have been going on about the Astroworld victims and how he's getting sued for $2 billion.
Yeah, it keeps raising every day the right amount of money that he's getting sued for. And I know we are hopping around, folks, but it's fine because it's all one big pop culture sandwich. But the Astroworld thing is interesting too, because now we're coming on the other side of it, where now we're getting back to people sticking up for Travis Scott of Chuck D from Public Enemy. This like, hey guys, this isn't just one black man that's responsible for this. There were, you know, Golden Voice, there were like Live Nation, there were all of these companies involved. They knew who he was. They know what kind of performances he gives. So, I mean, it is interesting that now the target really is Travis Scott. And in a lot of ways, I do find that fitting because of seeing the pattern of behavior and performance he does.
Oh, yeah, for
but,
sure.
But also for these sure. other companies have blood on their hands too, because they knew that the security was not going to be good enough. Like, you get to a certain point, you just cross your fingers and hope for the best, it feels like, with them.
I don't know if I explained this last time, but I've been, you know how I fall into rabbit holes and get obsessed with things?
Yeah.
So I've been reading everything there is to know about Astroworld, everything.
And what's new?
So what's interesting? So yes, I watched all of the videos of Travis Scott literally being told that there was a mass casualty event while on stage, and he just ignores it. And he watches the body being taken out, and he goes, yeah, yeah, in auto-tune, like just watching a body. It was like creepy. So he definitely is culpable in his own way. But the way this was set up, like if you've been to a music festival before or just like a big concert, like Dave Matthews Band, whatever it is, you know that you kind of need like an open field. And that's because there are multiple like exit points. Like if you have to escape the crowd, there are multiple ways you can get in and out of the crowd. It's just an open field. The way that this was set up was that there were banisters wrapping around so that there was only one way in and one way out. And that was through the side. So as the concert, it started starting, all the people that had gotten there early were just getting pressed against these banisters, and they couldn't escape because all of the crush of people coming in, there was no way out. So the way that it was set up by Live Nation is also really, really questionable too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So basically a lot of people are at fault here. I know that Apple is involved in the lawsuit because they were live streaming the event.
Yes. Yeah.
And
yeah.
So there's like talk that maybe like they were pressuring them to keep the concert going because Apple is going to lose money if they liked it. I don't know. I don't know exactly like what's going to happen with Apple's liability, but Travis Scott and Live Nation for sure. I know that Drake has been looped in because he performed like, you know, after people had already died. So it's like a whole thing. But yeah, the press conferences with family members, oh my God, it's like, it's heartbreaking, obviously. And again, just like, you know, the Erica Jayne thing, when you see, I mean, that's obviously very different situations, but when you see the victims tell their stories, you're like, oh my God, we need justice. Like people need to be held accountable.
Do you think coming off that, I mean, you brought up Erica Jayne, which is fascinating. I know she's preparing for her comeback of like, you know, she posted that thing of like, it's time for Erica Jayne to return to the stage.
Oh,
like Erica
God.
Jayne world. By the way, they're filming in, I think, New Mexico or Mexico this week. And she's posting all of these like fucking tone deaf. Like, I don't know, man. Like, I don't care about, I mean, I know maybe I'm like a minority, but I just don't care to see fucking Erica Jayne's cooch every like tell like I don't care. Like just chill out, man. Like take pictures of you and your friends, like you trying to be sexy. And I don't know what you're, I mean, part of it's like you really, I don't know. Like, we already established that Erika Jayne was a money losing entity. The character itself. We already established that the money put into it way exceeded the money that was ever gotten out of it. So in her head, I just wonder what her plan of action is. But it kind of fits even in this astral world thing, is that there's a bigger plan. There's this whole bigger plan and all of this money involved. And I really want to know your thoughts, because this ties into the Pete and Kim thing. Is you really think, you personally, I think this is a fake relationship to take heat away from the astral world tragedy, right? Is that what speculate?
Look, it could. I mean, Kim has, as a divorced woman, she has to get dick somewhere. So, you know, they could be actually hooking up, but the paparazzi photos were so staged. It just felt rushed.
It was, and by the way, it was Backgrid. Backgrid is the company they always use to get those photos, the Kardashians.
And if you watch the video of that moment,
they
hold hands for 1 second and then drop their hands. It was like just for the photo op. So like, I think that, you know, if Kim wanted to keep the secret, they could keep it a secret, but they're wanting it out there because it does distract from the astral world situation. It does.
Yeah.
Again, it's like, how can you, I've been so like just affected by the astral world stuff just from reading. Dude,
well, guys, there was another death. It was a little boy. He was
9 year old boy.
And he was like the cutest little boy. Like, and it was
Ezra Blount.
Yeah. Like, and I'm just like, wow. Like, imagine, like, that kid was, you know, maybe having the time of his life, or scared that he was at his first concert, you know, like, who knows? And it's just like, man, like, and you know what I hate is that they're like, well, some asshole said, well, it was 80,000 people. I mean, 10's not that bad, you know, of like people dying. And I'm like, what the, this wasn't a war. This was a concert.
Yeah,
like,
it's a concert.
Not a war, you know?
You don't go to concerts to die. That's ridiculous. And also for all the people being like, well, why was a 9-year-old at Astroworld? Travis Scott advertised with Fortnite, with McDonald's. He advertised to little kids. And this father, you know, had his son on his shoulders and then ended up getting crushed in the crowd and passed out. And, you know, when he came to, his son had, you know, been kind of trampled.
Can you imagine that boy's father? I mean, could you imagine?
Yeah, it's like the victim blaming on the internet. It's like, well, who brings a 9-year-old to a Travis Scott concert? It's like, well, he should have been able to survive a Travis Scott concert. Why? Like, it just is ridiculous and just so sad. And yeah, I think it's disrespectful to the victims. I mean, it's like, how can you post that you're broken and devastated and in shock and all these words like 2 weeks ago, and now you're like, like out and about with like your new boyfriend giggling like a teenager? It's like, wait, but like, do you actually not care that a member of your family led to the deaths of 10 innocent souls? Like, what is wrong with you? Like, it's actually just like crazy to me. And I know that the Kardashians personally weren't involved, but like, this is a member of their family at this point. It's one of their, that's what they say. Their baby daddies are their family.
Yeah. I mean, it's like I think it's just when it gets disturbing is when you start to think of like the collection of wealth between them and really how it is a little bit of, and I'm talking to you guys listening right now, it's like an us versus them kind of thing. And a little bit of like, you know, America is somewhere supposedly where you can make, you know, yourself rich. And it's like this land of opportunity and dreams, but it seems very distorted now more than ever, where we have the billionaire class. You know, you have Elon Musk making so much money like in the last 6 months than anybody ever in the world ever. You know, it's so lopsided now, and it's getting even crazier, but like, they don't give a shit about us. Like, we are the ones that fund them. We're the ones that champion them. We're the ones that love them. And that really is what pop culture and stand-up and fandom and all that stuff is. And it's such a joy for us sometimes, you know. And I think some people like Taylor Swift and Adele, they seem to really care and
care
appreciate
about their fans.
Yeah, like, and they want to go above and beyond. And then there's other things where it just feels like it's a money grab, and that's where the Kardashians really come into play. And I have definitely a love-hate relationship with them, because I love them with all my heart and I hate them with all my heart, because I feel like they started celebrity in a very different way, where you could be famous for just being famous. And I know you're going to say, well, that's happened before, but not to the level, because it hit right when social media did. Like, they exploded because of that. And it's changed, I think, the whole culture of the world. Like, the fact that we have Kim as a billionaire, Kylie as a billionaire, you know, they're part of our daily lives. And it just always seems like we're not getting the full truth from them. It almost seems clouded in mystery. And Chris just wants to put a smile on her face and go, no, we're just fun. We're just a fun family.
Yeah, and people are sick of that, especially when these victims' families are posting GoFundMes to pay for the funerals. And you hear that Travis Scott's team hasn't reached out to any of the victims, even though he said he was going to pay for their funerals. Like, it's stuff like that. It's like, you have so much money and so much influence. And yes, Kim Kardashian, it should be noted, flew a team of Afghan women soccer players to flee Afghanistan, which was great. Again, it's like, any like good charitable act, I will not be snarky about. Again, it's
no,
like,
I mean,
it's,
like, it's listen, what she's timing, done for prison.
Like, yeah, in prison, Apple and Julius Jones, she was really, really, really campaigning for Julius Jones to be exonerated, who was the death row inmate in Oklahoma who people think is innocent, and it's been proven.
And they and she was able to, like,
yeah, he got his death sentence. Yeah. Voided or whatever he's doing.
Yeah, like they did not go through with it.
Yeah, you know? So she did a good job of campaigning for that. She has in the past 2 weeks done more good than I've ever seen her do.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's interesting.
I'm just gonna let everyone sit with that for a second. Again, it's like, I will applaud. I think what she did for that Afghani soccer team is amazing, and she should be doing more of that. And that is one of the first big charitable expenditures that I have ever, ever heard her do.
Well, the question I have, though, with any of this stuff is that Bill Murray has this quote from back in the day of, like, people will say, oh, it must be so cool to be rich and famous. And he's like, I'd rather just be rich. Like, yeah. fame kind of sucks, agree. You know, and
but then you think about Kim and it's different. Like,
Kim wants to do both. Kim wants to be rich and famous.
Well, that's how she makes her money. It's like, I feel like guys. So some of the straight guys I was talking to this weekend, you're kind, Ryan.
Yeah. My bro.
You're bros. We them boys.
Let's soak, boys.
Let's soak, baby. So
by the way, I explained soaking to a whole birthday party last night.
Oh, God, Ryan.
I think there's a chance I ruined the birthday party at a point. Like, they asked, and there was two former Mormons in the, and they were like, what? And I had to explain jump humping. And like, there was that point where, like, people were laughing, and then you realize you've lost a whole crowd, and you're like, well, no, I don't think it's cool. I would never do it. You know,
there is no quicker way to kill the vibes at a party than to explain soaking in detail. The host was like, lesson learned. But anyway, I was talking to these straight guys about, and they're all like, you know, because they're not obsessed like pop culture and celebrity culture like we are. So they're like, but wait, why would it be for PR? Like, what's the point? And I was like, because that is how Kim Kardashian makes money. That's literally how she makes money. She keeps her name in the headlines. No, and that's how she's made money for over a decade.
You know what? I didn't really think about that. But yeah, that's exactly how she got rich, was being famous. So that's different than Bill Murray.
Attention
who got
is currency to them.
Yeah. But at a certain point with Kim, though, I just feel like when you're starting this life of, like, actual good deeds and, like, solid foundational work with, like, prison and all of this stuff, that it's like you would start to see, like, yo, maybe I have enough money, maybe. And it's never going to be enough for any
of
them.
It's never going to be enough.
Like, it'll never be enough face work for Chloe. It'll never be enough laziness for Courtney. It'll never be enough. Like, they're taught to go to the extreme, like all of them, by their mom, you know?
Oh, yeah, it'll never be enough, first of all, because they spend more money than they make. I mean, why was Kim Kardashian doing a Loop giveaway on Instagram?
That was weird. Explain to the audience what a Loop giveaway is. I saw that on Instagram. It was so weird.
A Loop giveaway the Kardashians do often, a lot of other influence, and they're just like really obnoxious ways to get followers for like brands or influencers or whoever you are to get followers. You buy into this Loop giveaway where the giveaway is like, all you have to do to win this preloaded credit card with $100,000 on it is to follow these 85 accounts. And so that's like how people buy into it. And the Kardashians, you know, if I had to guess, maybe they made like between, I honestly don't know. It could be anywhere from like $100,000 to $1 million for one of these posts. I really don't know, because it depends how much these people are paying to buy in.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's like, why is a quote unquote billionaire Like, I'm like, don't you have enough money? Like, it's a cheap, like, weird way to make money when you're supposed to be a billionaire, because it's not like, no one likes sleep giveaways. No one ever really wins. Like, it's kind of a scam. It's like just a fake way of pumping up followers for people. So it's just weird. It's like, if you're a billionaire, why are you doing this? You're like stooping very low. And she already deleted the post after the giveaway. She deletes it.
Does she really?
Yeah.
Like, and it's proven. I bet. I think it's proven that all those people that usually follow those people to enter usually unfollow the people pretty much like immediately after the contest. So it's not like, you know, assured growth, but it is, you know, it's like save a little for the rest of us, Kim, or save a little. Like, it is weird. You get to a point where I think I don't know. I just think they've never, like, even Chloe was still selling tummy tea up to, like, to a year ago, you know?
Yeah. And also, Chloe has like a Candy Crush partnership and like a migraine medicine partnership. Like,
well,
it's very strange. And also, like, when we talk about just the impact the Kardashians have had on like culture, and I like that you mentioned the tummy tea, it's like they have impacted like the way that women see themselves. The way that women present themselves on like Instagram, like the beauty standards, everything about like today's beauty standards have been like influenced by the Kardashians. And it's just like so wild to think about how this happened. And Kim Kardashian got her BBL. We've talked about this.
Yeah. You guys, like, that's the other thing is those the Brazilian butt lift. Like, they're also, they started the trend and now they're getting their own BBLs reversed to get like smaller butts because it's not as in vogue as it was 10 years or 8 years ago or however many years ago when they had ridiculous size asses and all, like, it was like the family plan at T-Mobile where like all the Kardashians were in on a BBL together. Like, even Chris has like an ass job, you know, but they're getting smaller. Even
Kendall has like a mini BBL.
Even Corey Gamble, Chris's boyfriend, has a huge BBL. Yet? So it's very frustrating. Oh yeah, and also Chloe, you mentioned the migraine. She does those Nurtec ads, you guys, and it's like something to behold. Like, also, I would need a migraine medicine too if I changed my face that much, because it's cranial. It's gonna rock your brain, you know.
Oh my god. And I also was talking about Botox the other day, and I was like, people are always like, oh, has it, because I've gotten Botox before, and people are like, oh, does it hurt? And I'm like, yeah, it actually does. Like, that getting needles, getting your face poked and prodded really hurts. I'm like,
yeah,
the fact that they go under for surgeries where they're getting lipo and BBLs and boob jobs and all these things, I'm like, that hurts. That's a lot of, like, you're putting your body through a lot of pain. But yeah, pain is beauty to them.
Did you watch that one TikTok from the girl that was like saying about Kris Jenner's church and like, it's like funneling money?
Yes.
You guys,
oh my
God, I gotta
find
this and put it up in my stories. I forgot to do that, but it was like this fascinating thing where this lady was pointing out that Kris Jenner formed a church in Calabasas, and it was like a strip mall church, hired this like former drug addict to be the head preacher, but it's a way to get like tax deduction and to funnel money through that. And they were saying Kim Kardashian has an eBay account where she'll sell like gift bag things in the thing, and then they'll funnel that money supposedly through the, I mean, this is all allegedly, but it was a fascinating TikTok.
Yeah. And they said they'll donate to charity, quote unquote, but it's really donating to Kris Jenner's church.
Yes.
Which is tax exempt. And the church costs $1,000 a month to belong to begin with.
Yeah. There's you pay monthly fees, and I guess that's like tithing, but still it's wild, you know?
Yeah. Again, it's like another shady. I think that one day a lot of the shady business dealings going on behind the scenes are going to get exposed, because I'm sure there's money laundering. Like, I'm sure there's a lot of shady Kardashian shit happening.
Well, that was fascinating about Salt Lake, is that they went over money laundering again, because Heather said, I'm a big fan of Ozark on Netflix, and she ran through money laundering, and that, you know, Whitney was like, oh, of course, Shaw Squad merchandise, money laundering, you know, like. And it is fascinating, though. They create these companies to funnel this money through. And that's why supposedly Jen was creating all of these companies, you know, and Kardashians as well. I'm sure the amount of LLCs and things of that nature that the Kardashians have are in the thousands at this point, you know?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. And also, I'm just generally interested in what, like, speaking of scammy people, Kylie Jenner, her personal Instagram, her like brand Instagrams have been silent since Astroworld. And it's like, I'm interested to see just what the future of Kylie's, like, her empire was already, you know, flailing, but like, it's going to be very interesting.
I just pray to God. I pray to God we don't get a special Hulu episode of their new show about the Astroworld tragedy.
I really,
like, I bet we will, but I just don't need to see them crying about it more. Like, and I know that might sound callous, but I just feel like it's such a, I don't know. Like, it's just, it would feel
really disgusting if they tried to like exploit it at all and act like they were victims in any capacity. So I can't imagine that they would do that.
Well, you could already, in my head, you could already see at the very end, they'll put up the names of the 10 people that died at Astroworld, you know, like they'll try to like they're on the side. Anyways, moving on, we do have to move on, unfortunately, because there's so much stuff that is happening. But speaking of Instagram stories, I was even befuddled and confused. Like, so our favorite Chrissy Teigen, which I know, like, so you guys, have you watched Squid Game? I watched it, loved it. Everybody watches it and loves it, but it's pretty much about, you know, a game where they kill each other for money. All of these kind of down and out people, you know, these people that have like no other chance in life. You know, they have so many like money issues and money problems and stuff like that. And Chrissy Teigen and John Legend, her husband, threw a Squid Game party where Chrissy dressed up like the girl that shoots guns out of her, the doll. And anyways, and I even, you know,
red light, green light. Yeah,
but I even thought, to me, I even thought, well, this really misses the boat in a way, because this is like, you're rich. Like, you're making fun of a show that is like talking about like the extravagance of the wealthy and how they pit each other against us for their own pleasure. And Chrissy is a part of that wealth, you know, and for her to do that, it kind of takes away. But by the way, that's not even the point. The point is Chrissy yesterday went from talking about her new eyelash surgery that she was getting and got to being pissed that people were upset about her Squid Game party. And if that is not the culture of celebrity and wealth, I don't know what is. To go back and forth of how dare you question me to getting an eyebrow surgery that is, you know, she looks great, but like, man, like talk about, you know, the other side of the fence that we'll know.
Wait, who got eyebrow surgery? Chrissy Teigen?
Chrissy Teigen?
I was just talking to my friend who's getting married in October, and there is so much to plan. You gotta do the food, you gotta do the food tasting, you gotta book the venue, talk about the DJ, and then not to mention all of the emotion that goes into this. And then all the while you're like, ooh, what would I do if I had a wedding? I've been a part of a lot of weddings over the years, and it's an incredibly stressful process. You go from this newly engaged bliss to overwhelmed by invitation paper and flower colors in the blink of an eye. So using Zola helps with wedding planning from start to finish, and it makes every decision easier so you can stay in your bliss. With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste that delicious cake. Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually enjoyable. There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or on your couch. Zola helps couples plan the wedding they really want with tons of unique features and personalized recommendations based on a couple's preferences. Every Zola wedding is as unique as the couple planning it. They've thought of everything you'll need and have built every tool to get you to I do, including customized checklists to get you moving, keep you on track, and prepare you for what's next. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
We'll be back to the show in just a moment, folks. We're going to do some commercials to keep the lights on over here. We have two products with us this week. Both have been with the pod before, and I'm proud to call them both sponsors this week. Once again, we have Simply Safe. Now, Simply Safe, if you have ever wanted to make your home feel safer, there is no better time than now. So this week, our friends at Simply Safe are giving So Bad It's Good listeners early access to all of their Black Friday deals. 50% off their award-winning home security. Now, we love Simply Safe because it has everything you need to make your home safe. Indoor and outdoor cameras, comprehensive sensors, all monitored around the clock by trained professionals who send help the instant you need it. Now, this is, I always say, this is interesting because I set one up in my room to see if I could catch my roommate, Josh, go into my room because I know he does. But
Now I have moved to a new place. I have moved to a house. So I'm actually going to be able to use all of their things that they had sent me for this house. And I've got a console that I'm actually going to be setting those up, especially I'm excited to do that in the backyard and the front yard. And it's really cool. You can actually access this and monitor all yourself. And I was even at Best Buy this weekend to get some things for the house. And I even noticed Simply Safe was there. I was like, and I saw a commercial for it the other day on TV too. So I was like, dang, these guys are the real deal. Simply Safe was even named Best Home Security System of 2021 by US News and World Report. You can easily customize a system for your home online in minutes and even get free custom recommendations from Simply Safe. These are Simply Safe's biggest discounts of the year. You can get a complete home security system starting at just over $100. And that is nothing for peace of mind. There are no long-term contracts or commitments. It's a real easy way to start feeling a little bit more peace of mind. So take advantage of Simply Safe's early Black Friday deals and get 50% off your new home security system by visiting simplysafe.com/sobad. Now that's simplysafe.com/sobad for 50% off your entire order. Your entire order. That's crazy. I love it. Our next is Papa and Barclay. Now, Papa and Barclay, they have these kind of amazing products that they're like CBD oils, CBD relief balms. I told you I had been using them on my knee. I tore like my ACL a long time ago, and it's something that I keep re-injuring. And I had never, I know CBD is like all the rage, but I had never tried it until I got these products. And you guys, it actually worked on my knee. I now use it daily, and it's something that I'm going to actually buy for myself pretty soon because I'm almost out of my Papa and Barclay. But I think it is awesome. I actually cannot wait because I told my dad about it. He's interested in using it. But Papa and Barclay understands wanting the absolute best for the people we care about the most. It all started with a son trying to help his father find relief from debilitating pain so he could get his life back. Today, they're still putting the same care into improving lives with their award-winning CBD solutions for discomfort, stress, sleep, and everyday wellness. I think we all know somebody in our lives that could actually benefit from this. It could be us. It could be your family. It could be your friend. This stuff actually works. Papa and Barclay founder Adam Grossman created the groundbreaking relief balm to ease his father's debilitating back pain. From that powerful homemade balm, Papa and Barclay has expanded to a full line of topical balms, oils, tinctures, Shannon Bador, and capsules, all made with 100% natural, clean ingredients and whole plant, full spectrum CBD. Today, they are the number one cannabis wellness company in California, and with their new CBD relief line, they can now ship nationwide. That's huge. Their CBD relief balm delivers hours of comfort with simple, plant-based ingredients. In an at-home use test with over 300 participants, users reported a 40% reduction in daily discomfort in just 1 week of using the balm. The award-winning CBD oil, Relief Drops, is their fastest metabolizing daily wellness option for easing daily stress, discomfort, and supporting a good night's sleep. Papa and Barclay is on a mission to improve lives through CBD in its purest, cleanest form possible. Go to papaandbarclaycbd.com/sobad for 20% off your first purchase. That's 20% off for new customers at papaandbarclaycbd.com/sobad. And remember, you guys, those are always going to be on the show description if you forget any of that information and you don't want to, you know, hit rewind. I don't think rewinding, it's, you know, the button that goes 15 seconds back on your phone. Anyways, you guys, those are our sponsors for this week. Thank you so much, you guys. And now back to the show. And yeah, like her on her what? Instagram stories yesterday. I don't know if it's still there, okay, but she,
first of all, I thought the Squid Game thing, I was like, it's like a popular TV show. I didn't think it was that big of a deal, but it was kind of like her Parasite tweet where she clearly like missed the point kind of.
Yeah, I'm sure when you're wealthy, you want to play in our reindeer games too. But, you know, I feel like sometimes they don't understand who they've become. But Chrissy is a definite weird one because this year, I think, has rocked her where I'm even like, yo, like, you gotta chill. Like, the fact that you want celebrity so bad that you're have press there to like send photos out, and then you're complaining that it didn't go the way you want to, but then you're also in between that showing us your new eyebrow surgery. Like, girl, like, pick a lane. Like, which one is it? And like, do you, it's once again, do you need celebrity this bad? Do you need it this bad?
She does. Chrissy,
well, that's what I'm saying. For Chrissy, it seems like the answer is yes.
It's crazy how much she posts on it. It's crazy how much she is addicted to getting validation on Instagram. I can't stand her, which we all know by now. But like, remember when Instagram was like down for like a day? And
yeah,
she was just posting on Twitter. Out.
Yeah.
She like had to get it out there that she was like, you know, she just needs validation on social media. It's very strange. And yeah, she is an obnoxious narcissist.
Well, speaking of, this is what you had actually texted me yesterday, is that you said to remind you to talk about Emrata Ratajkowski, who has a new book out called My Body, I believe. Is that what it's called?
Yeah. Speaking of obnoxious narcissists, you know what? I used to really like Emrata, and I haven't read the book, and I really don't care to, because I've read enough reviews of it. I just think it's so interesting that, okay, I have a lot of things to say about this. First of all, that she writes an entire book about the male gaze. That's what it's about. It's about the male gaze and how, you know, men have viewed her as just a sex object and all these things, which is fair, while completely ignoring the female gaze and how her Instagram posts and how her, it's similar to the Kardashians, how she has affected beauty standards and how she has affected how women feel about themselves. She literally invented an ab crack.
Oh, Jesus.
Which is the crack in your abs, like that. Like, you Google ab crack, like, Emrata is the first, I think one of the New Yorker review basically pointed that out, one of the reviews about her book. And she also posits herself as like a socialist, but while being like, but you know, like, while we live in a capitalist society, I gotta get that bag. Like, she writes that in the book. It's like, you have a position where if you don't like capitalism, you're in the position where you can change it. But instead, you are the biggest capitalist and you're married to a billion. Her husband comes from like a billionaire family. So like, I don't want to hear it about the fake socialism and the
I've heard many stories also about her husband being a gigantic douchebag. I know that's neither here nor there, but
and
like
that they were squatting in their apartment.
Yeah, sorry, I did know
keep
that.
Going.
Yeah.
Keep going about what you've heard about her husband, then I'll talk about the squatting thing.
No, it's just that her husband, there's been many instances where her husband back in the day used to use the N-word to a lot of his black friends and all of that stuff and felt very comfortable. And it's a rich white kid, you know, and it's one of those things where the Emrata thing, like, I read one of her essays and I appreciated it, talking about, you know, like, and I get it. But at the same time, she's clearly and admittedly so benefited from that male gaze. And usually with that kind of thing, then you'd be like, well, they're my fans. I appreciate everything and the life they've given me. But it is interesting to try to play both angles, to want the fame and want the money and want to be desired and sexualized. But at the same time, to say how dirty it is that we are sexualizing her. So it's like really skirting this interesting line. I knew I didn't like Emrata when she was on Watch What Happens Live last week and she said she loved Lisa Rinna, and Z-Way was on with her, and Z-Way like was like, what? Like, she was like, huh, okay. But like, I just think it's interesting when you play both sides, and she has a bigger career. And she, I mean, you know, she had a career because she was in the Blurred Lines video with Robin Thicke. And even on the set, she says that Robin Thicke grabbed her breasts without her permission. And that's disgusting and horrifying. But it is interesting that also that video put her on the map where she is a known model. Like, she was one of also Daily Mail's favorites for a while, where she was just like, I was like, how many bikinis is she going to be in this summer, you know?
Right. It's like, okay, so you're decrying this industry, you know, that you are perpetuating, like, you are literally still doing it. So it's like, who are you then? Like, are you the person that doesn't think that, you know, you should be selling your body to creepy guys or having to do that to make a career? Or it's like, she's trying to say she's self-aware while still perpetuating what she's complaining about. It like, it makes no sense. It's kind of like Cassie David also when she wrote her book and she was like, I know everyone hates nepotism kids. It's like, just because you're self-aware doesn't make it less obnoxious.
I read the Cassie David book and I got to tell you that the one thing is like, I was like, I think Cassie David is funny and all that stuff. But then I read the book and I was like, I am way too old to read this book because it was like, I would love to read something Cassie David wrote in 20 years. Like it like had some good ideas in it, but overall it was kind of this,
not a good writer because she's not a writer.
Yeah, but it was also like, okay, there's some funny moments in here, but it sometimes is interesting when you want attention for not being the average rich kid, for still feeling deep feelings. And it's like, that's great if you feel deep feelings, but the urge to let us know that you do almost as an apology to us is weird. It is a weird thing to then make money on top of that. And I understand it's probably a hard position to be in, but I was so weirdly excited to read that book. And to me, it was a huge disappointment. It had good ideas, but the bones were there. It's just that I feel like it needed an older voice, you know?
Oh yeah. It got terrible reviews.
But also I'm an old dude. I shouldn't be reading that shit anyways, but female comedians are my favorite things. Like I love a girl that actually like is so funny and there's so many better female comedians than there are males now. Agreed. And I thought like she had some really interesting ideas, you know?
Well, yeah, she's just, I mean, I read her Too Full to Fuck essay in The Cut and that was all I needed to see because she's just not, she's really, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be a bitch.
You're just jealous John Mayer hooked up with her.
I know, I am jealous of that, even though they've denied that, but I don't know. Sure. But yeah, I am jealous of that. I'm jealous that her dad's a billionaire. Like, that'd be cool if my dad was a billionaire.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, I've seen like snippets of different articles of her. She's not a good writer. I think that Emily, from that one article that I read of hers, she actually is a good writer. But the reviews that I read are like, she just didn't. None of it really came together. Like she was trying to say something, but it kind of fell flat because I mean, she's still perpetuating the problem. Like, yeah. It's just, yeah. I mean,
well,
it is
a little bit of a damned if you don't, but at the same time, I mean, where does Emily Ratajkowski go from here? Like, where does somebody like that go from here? Is she just going full feminist icon? Is that what she's aiming for? Is she trying to be Gloria Steinem?
She's trying to be an intellectual, but like, it's like, I mean, what are you going to do? Are you going to like, you know, keep making women feel horrible about themselves when you like post, oh, just had my baby, ignore the stroller in the background when you're like in a bikini to let everyone know that you just had your baby 5 minutes ago? Like,
I mean, it is interesting how her and Lala's body can come back just like that. Like, it is wild how bodies work. Like, it is so probably unfair to the majority of females in this country for people like that to exist. I know it's not Emily's fault, but like, my God, like that is so enviable, you know?
Some women are like that. The reality is that most women aren't like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah. And I mean, that's not her fault. I'm not like trying to body shame her, but it's like, you wrote an entire book about the male gaze without asking yourself, what am I doing that might be causing issues for women in the world? Which is, you know, making these absolutely unattainable beauty standards. And yeah, you literally invented the ab crack. No one else in the world has an ab crack except you. And you're showing it off 5 minutes after having a baby. Like, that makes a lot of people feel like shit. And like, again, that's not her fault, but it's like, if you're going to sit down and write an entire book about your essays and how people view your body and you're completely ignoring the female population.
Well, it's interesting then also then to actually choose as your husband, somebody that kind of seems like a little sleazy in his own right.
Yeah.
It's like, well,
oh, man. And I have to talk about the squatting thing.
Yeah. Yeah. What about the squatting thing?
So it came out a couple of years ago that they were in trouble because they had not paid rent, her and her husband, because they were using some New York
service.
It's a loophole. It's like a loophole that lets artists that are living out of their studios. So if you use your studio to make art, it's like some loophole for starving artists in New York City. They're not starving artists. Husband comes from a billionaire family.
Yeah, I know.
And so they weren't paying rent. And the rest of the residents in the building found out about it and they were pissed. They were like, how come they don't have to pay rent and they're the rich ones? So there are a lot of things that have turned me off of Emrata.
And I'm so curious book, how much that book sold. I'm so curious.
I mean, it made the New York Times bestseller list. I'm not surprised. She's
sorry, Lala. I'm sorry that you didn't, but yeah. Emrata did.
Yeah, she has a huge following, so I'm not surprised by it. But it's just like, you know, I was enjoying reading some of the reviews panning it because I'm like, thank you. None of this makes sense.
Yeah. Well, it has the font too of one of my favorite books, Joan Didion's The White Album. I don't know. It reminds me of the cover of that. But also speaking of feminists, did you see Lala had a Rand tattoo for Randall and she switched it to brand new? And yeah. This is when I love Lala, is when she sticks to her guns and is petty towards somebody that's hurt her. Like, genuinely, I think Randall is like, if they're in a relationship and he's like still hooking up with like 20-year-olds and stuff like that, fuck yeah, get that tattoo like changed. I thought that was, I got a weird kick out of that.
Oh yeah. 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 Good for her. I mean, people were like, it seemed like she like probably thought about that the moment she got the Rand tattoo, like how she'll cover it up eventually. But I'm like, if that were the case, she wouldn't have capitalized the R.
I don't tell a lot of people this, and I'm telling a lot of people now, I guess, but I have my ex's name on my, my right shoulder tattoo. I got it.
You really?
I do. Yeah. I got it from Kat Von D for our 5th anniversary. And it's been 3 years and I don't know what to do with it. It's like one of those things that I almost kind of disassociate when I think about it. What do you do with, I got to get it covered up, but her name is not something that I could try to do something funny with. It's too long of a name, you know?
Yeah, that's tough. We can brainstorm some ideas for you, though.
Thank you. But I will say, maybe that is like the So Bad It's Good audience can throw out ideas. But it is so funny because when you do that, you go in with the purest of intentions. I was like, she had already always requested that, you know, of like me to get her. And I was always like, that's crazy. That's crazy. And then I did it. And then, you know, it all went south. But it is one of those, like, you go in with the purest of intentions because you go in not thinking that someday I'm going to have to find a funnier word to make up for this, you know?
Yeah. I mean, wait, what year was it that you got it?
Well, I mean, it was 2021, probably like 2015, I bet.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like for a while now, people have been like, just don't do it.
No, okay. If I could go back, I'll never probably do that again.
Well, remember when Jack Scott Stassi's name?
Yeah. Iconic. Yeah. Like he has like a whole sleeves of tattoos and all that. Yeah. I have that. And I have like two Japanese symbols on the back that I got on my 25th birthday that supposedly say risk and love, but who knows if that's I was drunk and I was like, yeah, like I want to risk and I want to love, and like those are the stupid fucking tattoos you get when you're in your 20s where you're drunk and you want to try to be deep. And I was reading a lot of JD JD Salinger and Ayn Rand and stuff like that. But I know, it's like so dumb. Like I try to think about like I wish I was a tattoo guy and I just can't even think about anything I care enough to like. I really almost once got It's All Happening like Sheena did in the exact same place. And I was like, that would, and that's when I'm disgusting too. Cause I was like, that would make the best Instagram photo, you know?
Yeah. That would have been amazing. Well, you want to hear what's funny is that I went my whole life being told that and I think a lot of Jewish people, this is something that is kind of instilled on us that it's against our religion to get tattoos. So if you get a tattoo, you can't be buried in a Jewish cemetery. Apparently that's not true. So I went my whole life thinking that it was like literally illegal for me to get a Jew or for me to get a tattoo as a Jew. And I just learned that that's like not the case, but it's like, I subconsciously will be like, oh, if a guy has tattoos, I'm like, eh. You know, but that's because I've been tricked my whole life.
Yeah. I mean, that's interesting. I mean, so if you could go back knowing that information, it would have really come in handy probably in your late teens, early 20s.
I'm honestly glad though, because I change my mind so much about everything.
Yes.
I can't fathom how people make a decision about a tattoo and they're like, I'm never going to change my mind about this.
That's exactly it. Because like it's
I change my mind about my nail color like 5 seconds after they start painting my nails. And I'm like, oh, damn it.
I remember in my early 20s, like thinking that someday I would get a Batman tattoo. And like, I thank God every day that I don't have a, like, I love Batman, but I would be I would almost be like, think about that. You date a guy and then all of a sudden he has Batman tattoo and his ex-wife's name on it. Like, that'd be amazing. You know,
wait, where, what, how big was the bat? Was it just going to be the Batman symbol?
Yeah, probably.
Was it going to be like the spotlight?
No, no. It's just going to be like the bats. I'm such a, but I swear to God.
Was like, it going to be Christian Bale as Bruce Wayne?
It's going to be Ben Affleck's Batman.
Wait, Christian Bale thinks he invented method acting, but Lady Gaga did.
Guys, House of Gucci comes out this Thanksgiving, and her vocal coach has gone on record saying she's not doing an Italian accent well.
She's doing a Russian accent.
But I gotta say, I am so excited to see this movie. My friend Carrie Whitmer on Twitter, she saw it at an early screening, and she says it's awesome. She says it's so good. It's so over the top. And Lady Gaga in every interview is so over the top. You really got to love Lady Gaga for being as over the top as she is.
I just,
it's like there's, you know, that's a very special thing to do. And it, like, she gives respect up to other actors. Like, she was on the red carpet with Al Pacino and he had his sunglasses on and people were like, take off your sunglasses, Al. And she's like, you do not speak to Al Pacino that way. You do not speak, you know, she's just so usually right about everything, but she just does it to such an extremity. And she told Ridley Scott, the director of this movie, you guys, she said, I am going there. I am method with this. I am going there. Yeah. I am plotting this murder. And Ridley Scott was like, you know, you don't have to do that. I mean, thank you for doing that, but you don't have to do that. And she goes, I've already done it one time before, which she's talking about A Star Is Born, you guys. Like, she went that hard on Ally that she was like, in her head, spoiler alert, her dude, Bradley Cooper's character, Jackson Maine, hung himself at the end. And in Lady Gaga's head, he really did that. If you go method, you know, like, imagine going method on A Star Is Born.
I love how during this press tour, she's like, I studied animals, panthers and house cats.
Oh my!
How they stalk their prey. But that was so funny that this vocal coach said that she's doing a Russian accent, because then I was like thinking about how in the trailer she's like, I'm not an ethical person, but I'm fair. I was like, wait, that actually is so Russian.
The worst part, you guys, of the worst part of acting, like, I went to theater school, guys. I have a degree in theater from ASU, the Harvard of the West. And the worst, I remember Marshall Mason's class, he's a very esteemed teacher. In his class, we would have to do those, like, you're an elephant, you know, or you are a panther. And those were like, you just, like, if somebody like me that's a smart ass, like, I never, and this is probably why I'm not like a very successful Lady Gaga-ish actor, I could never not laugh at myself of like, come on, I'm not an elephant. Like, come on. Like,
I know, you know, it's so hard to take it seriously. That was like the one, I had to do one improv class and it was through work. It was like one of my old, like, creative directors at my office was like into improv. So she took all of us as like a team bonding activity. And it was like the scariest, hardest thing ever. Like, it was so scary.
Improv shows are the worst. I used to do improv all the time with like UCB and Groundlings and all that. They're the worst because you start off being so bad, and you invite your friends.
Have you watched Broad City?
Of course, yeah.
Statutory creep.
Yeah.
If you haven't watched Broad City, please do. It's this one episode where Alana hooks up with this hot guy and then he like invites her to his improv show and he's like so cringy and embarrassing and his improv group is called Statutory Creep.
But that's all. But by the way, you have like phases in Los Angeles. You have your stand-up comedy phase, your improv phase, your student film phase, you know, you're creating your own content phase where it's YouTube. And, you know, it's like there's different phases for actors out here. And it's really such a brutal life for the people that choose to do it. But like improv is especially brutal because there's only, I would say, 0.1% that know how to do improv well that can actually make you laugh. The rest of it are the most awkward shows and scenes that I was mainly a part of. Like I was good probably 20% of the time. And that was, I don't know. So it's just, it gives me douche chills still to think about improv, you know?
Oh my God. I'm just imagining you like being like that guy in Broad City.
Oh, like, I mean,
he's on the improv stage and he's like, I just went doo-doo in my diaper.
So I remember one of my, I'm trying to remember one of the best scenes I ever did was that I was on a supposed date and I turned on and I was like, you ever hear this? And it was Sex on Fire by Kings of Leon. And I would just like silently sing it. So it was a very creepy scene. Okay, wait. So moving on, as we start wrapping up though, and I know this has gone way too fast, you guys, we have something that there are like so many tragedies, but this one I think takes the cake for this week is that, and I did not see this coming. Camila Cabello and Shawn Mendes announced their breakup after 2 long years of being in love and dating. Did you see this coming, them breaking up?
I'm surprised it lasted this long.
Whoa. No, it is. It's giving Cher. The breakup is giving Cher.
It's giving Cher.
So I watched
that. I also was trying to explain that to a bunch of straight guys, and they were like, what does that mean? It's giving Cher. They're like, what does that mean? Like, why is it so hard as someone that's into pop culture for anyone to understand what's going on?
It is interesting. I think of myself pretty cool that I feel like I can speak this special language that mainly like girls and gay dudes can speak. I feel like very privileged to understand this language, but other people don't understand it. Like guys, like I have a good girlfriend and her dude, like I thought her dude liked me and all that stuff. Like, and then like they broke up and then I was told later that he was like, and what's up with that guy? He's into all that weird shit. That's weird. And I was like, damn.
That's so mean.
It was mean. It really was mean. Yeah.
Also, I was wearing my sweatshirt that says it's not about the pasta. And I had to explain that too. It's all about the pasta, Lola.
Come on, Lola. Lola. I have to deal with the nose, Lola.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm the one that has to look at it.
Come on. By the way, Tom Sandoval actually put on a great show last Sunday when I went to it. But the funny thing was, a little piece of like the ceiling fell down on DJ James Kennedy and Raquel during the show. And my friend told Raquel, was like, oh, my God, did it hit your nose? Because that's her whole plot line this season, is like her bumping her nose. And Raquel says, well, no, but why? And he goes, because that's your whole plot line, your nose job. She's like, oh, she didn't even like put it together.
She's probably like, oh my God, did it?
Did it? Yeah,
like,
no. I feel
bad. It's clearly, you know, and James is acting like if her nose changes, he's not going to love her anymore.
Yeah.
Like that is so crazy to me. And I feel like we're brushing past that he's acting like his love for Raquel is conditional on her appearance, which is like the opposite of what unconditional love and marriage is about, because you're supposed to grow old and ugly for together. Like you're not going to be hot forever. So I think that's very strange that he is so caught up on her appearance.
Well, it almost makes me want to believe that the show is completely fake, because if that's true, that's completely disgusting. And also for somebody that has been given unconditional love from Raquel when he was at his worst, alcoholism and like mania and stuff like that, she showed him unconditional love. So the Camila Cabello, Shawn Mendes thing, I watched a Shawn Mendes, like the thing where he was hooked up to a lie detector for Vanity Fair. And like, I got to say, like, I mean, I know the rap on him is everybody makes the joke of, oh, he's gay, he's gay. Like,
he's
Cher. He's giving Cher. Like, it's like very like, you know, it's, you know, there's some things that he says and the affect he uses that can sometimes be thrown off. Is that I'm curious what the real story is. And I guess we'll see what it is. Is Shawn Mendes and Camila Cabello, are they insanely popular, or are they just like, are they really huge with the youth?
Honestly, I think that their relationship, which may or may not have started as a PR stunt, I think it did, obviously. I think it actually damaged both of their careers. They were both hotter before they got together because their career was kind of so corny, like the zombie walks.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, by the way, guys, if you don't know they did these zombie walks that are caught on tape, which is basically them looking like zombies walking, but in reality, they know they're being photographed, or they asked to be photographed. So they're trying to go slow so the cameras can catch them. Right.
Yeah. Like there were staged photos for the paparazzi, and you can see that their coffee cups are like empty. Like they're just holding coffee mugs, walking like zombies, super slow, so that the paps like get all the shots. Like, it's so creepy and weird. So I think that those like weird things about them turned a lot of people off. And I think that Camila Cabello really, really desperately needs a new stylist. She's,
yes,
like,
I totally agree with that.
She's like, yes. Giselle.
Or she's like, you know, well, also
Katie. She's like Katie Maloney Schwartz. Like, she never gets it right.
Or like Denise Richards, or even Miss Britney Spears, who we all love. Like, Britney never really fully like And I appreciate that Britney never got a full
story. No, what we're not going to do is bring Britney into it.
Okay, but can't we say that, like, we, okay, fine. I'm just saying.
Britney can wear whatever she wants. The rest of them can't. The rest of them have images to uphold. Britney's legacy is secured.
Oh, no, I'm not talking about legacy. I'm just talking about
fact. I know.
Britney Spears, I will say, her first week has been amazing. Did you not see that she like is speaking more coherently than I've ever heard her speak in the last couple of years?
Probably like, because they're not benzoing her. They're not like drugging her probably.
But I'm like, how?
They're on drugs.
But like she's coming out saying like she's making more and more jokes of like, yeah, I'm going to go on Oprah and like totally like get my family and all that stuff. And I love that she's feeling free enough to be able to say these things because you start to realize just how insane all of this really truly was, you know?
Yeah, and so much is going to come out once she, you know, tells her own story. Because right now we've only seen documentaries that other people have made and nothing has really been from Britney's point of view. So yeah, more stuff is just going to keep coming out. And I think that Jamie Spears is not going to be a free man for very much longer. I think that people are going to get charged for this for sure.
You do? You really think so?
Happened with Lou Taylor. Lou Taylor, by the way, speaking of Astroworld, is like Travis Scott's manager with which you told me originally.
Financial. Yeah. The financial manager. Yeah.
Yeah. So like people are going down for this. I have a feeling.
So, Real Housewives of Potomac, we'll have seen Nicki Minaj co-host tonight. So look out for that, you guys. I'll be interested to see what you think about that, Sophie. Also, really quick, Jacob Elordi and Kaia Gerber split. Yeah. That's another one that went down the drain. So sadness goes out to them. I'm sorry, you guys. We wanted better for you. And I'm trying to think what else. There's something huge I'm forgetting. I know there is. Damn it.
Winterhouse.
Yeah. Winterhouse. Are you still loving it?
Love it. I never want it to end. And I'm really sad. This is the finale this week.
Yeah. It ends this week. It just goes to show. I think it is such a nice palate cleanser and that an Ultimate Girls Trip, which I really have to, you got to watch you because Louis, Teresa's creepy, fiance gives her a card, one for each day that she's there, which is very Brooke Ayers with Vicki Gunvalson from OC.
Love bombing.
And she, yeah, exactly. And he does that kind of kiss where he grabs both sides of her head and like kisses her that way. And you just can never trust like those people that grab your face to kiss, grab your whole head.
Yeah, I don't like that.
But you've got to like, there's a lightness now, I think, to all of like, I love Ultimate Girls Trip and I love Winterhouse because coming off of Beverly Hills and Salt Lake. It's a throwback to actually these tropes, but these tropes work because there's fresh connections with all these ladies. It's not like 7-season Erica Jane with 6-season Lisa Rinna with this. You know, we have all of these ladies in new combinations. And so then it makes these familiar tropes have a new life of their own, which I really love, you know?
Yeah. It's like as much as we love like the FBI legal drama that's happening on Beverly Hills and Salt Lake City, et cetera. Like, it's so nice to have just something light and fresh.
Well, so, Ultimate Girls Trip, you guys, will be on Bravo this week. I believe on the 23rd, they are going to air it on. If you don't have Peacock, it'll be on Bravo.
On Bravo.
Yeah. And you, like, speaking of Winterhouse, Lindsay Hubber, we're starting to get some moves with Jason. Now, I know Jason and Lindsay came over to your place to grab that TV, which you talked about on the podcast. So did they ever date or were they always just friends? Because also it seems like he's totally into her, but it seems like she's kind of into him. She thinks he's a great guy and awesome and all that. But it just, I sometimes get scared. Lindsay will go towards guys that will treat her bad rather than treat her good. You know?
Well, it's funny. I feel like everyone is like, why is everyone like overlooking Jason in the house?
Yes.
Which is a great point, but it's also like, cause he's a nice guy. The reality is that the nice guys, you know, they're not always the ones that are getting the girls because they're nice. I think that, you know, he is a little nice for Lindsay,
but he has fucking abs. He has abs. He knows how to cook. Like it's right. He's a good looking dude. Like
he's absolutely a catch. Oh my God. He cooked like a 5-course meal with like turkey drumsticks.
Why do you think girls are like that though? Why do you think they want the bat? Like, why do you think they want to be treated like shit sometimes?
Honestly, it's probably a multitude of factors.
Does your guy do that? Is your guy do that? You don't.
No, he's honestly
a bad boy.
What?
Is he a bad boy?
He's honestly so sweet. This is actually a funny story. He's like such a sweetheart that I was getting told, his friends were telling me a story about a couple of years ago, his car got stolen outside of, like, it just got stolen and it was never found again. Whereas like the normal person would be like freaking out, throwing a fit. And he was just like, oh man. He was like, oh brother. Like, he just like is so calm. Like, it's just like, he's just really, really sweet and calm. And
are
like,
you going to test his limits though? Are you going to test his limits to see what like, breaks him?
How many sandwiches have you made for me?
Oh God. Okay, you guys, I've taken up enough Sophie's time, your time. Have the best Thanksgiving this week. Please tell your family I said hello. Are you going to be there next Sunday?
I am flying home next Sunday, so we'll figure out when
we figure it out. But I want to say hi to your mom again.
Yeah, so we can record it like early in the day Sunday before I come back.
Anything else that we need to follow or keep attention to for you?
I don't know. I've been really, really, really like not posting on Instagram at all lately. And I'm trying to be better about
ever since you got in this relationship, you've kind of like stopped focusing on the stuff that matters. And I don't know. We said it last week, but I think, and how annoying is it that the audience is pretty excited that you have a dude? Like I saw some people commenting and all that. Is this going to make it weird for you?
No, it's adorable. I actually asked his permission. I was like, do you feel comfortable with me making this IG official? Because I know that, you know, when you're a big time celebrity like me, it's like a lot of eyes are going to get a lot of attention. Paparazzi are going to be outside of his Midtown office tomorrow.
It'll be funny if Kendall tries to get a hold of him and say, Sophie's not a good person. Sophie's not a good person.
He's going to be spotted with Kendall Jenner next week.
I would actually love to host a weekly podcast with him if this goes.
So for the past literally 5 Sundays, he's been here, and I'm like, just come on the podcast and say hi. And
He would be amazing. The audience would love that.
I know. I'm like, I think it'd be so funny. I also, I wrote down some of the things he doesn't like know what they are pop culture wise. He didn't know what Skims was, which is like normal. But it was just funny. He was like, what's Skims? Like, he really just doesn't know. He was like, what's Goop?
I mean, see, this is, to me, and it's so funny because it's like, I feel like who wouldn't know that? But I guess in a reality, why should you know that if you're a dude, you know?
Exactly. It's like, there's no reason for him to know, but it's just so funny to me because I spend like 90% of my life thinking about things like Skims.
Yes. Anyway, and I wonder what he thinks about 90. Does he think about sports 90% of the time? Because you also sports? Think about that.
Sports and stocks and like hockey players.
Oh, is he a finance bro?
Yeah.
Is he into crypto?
Yes.
Oh, well, shit.
I mean, he's just into all that shit. And like, my brain doesn't work like that. Like, I will never be able to grasp the concept of like cryptocurrency and like investments.
I can't grasp a savings account, you know, like what?
Right. Like my brain doesn't work like that. So my brain is busy thinking about other things like Pete Davidson and Kim Kardashian and Gwyneth Paltrow's vagina candles, you know?
Well, I do got to end rich that just like you brought Pete and Kim again. It's like, I know he's a good guy and all that crap, but like, come on, it's insane. Like, she's a billionaire with like a bunch of kids. It's a little, come on.
Like, I'll go back to what I've been saying, which is that everyone's like, but he's funny. And I'm like, is he though? Because he's really not that funny.
I'll give him funny, but it's not like I'm trying to think of my favorite comedian. It's not like holy shit. Like, it's not mind blowing comedy. You know, it's not like, it's just, he's a funny guy.
I guess it's like, yeah, he's kind of goofy. He's like kind of just goofy and but like.
Wait, has Kim ever been with the goofy guy?
I think people could categorize Kanye as kind of goofy.
Yeah, but like that's way different goofy, you know?
Yeah, true. But yeah, it's giving PR distraction.
It's giving PR distraction. That's great. Sophie, we will talk to you very soon.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Bye.
Bye.
Betches.